Yeah, I've been breathing. It's just a part of me. His Holy Spirit now indwells me, and He is transforming me. And so by His grace, those things become a part of my life. Now, do I need to sometimes look at my daily schedule and say, well, you know what? Am I chasing a little bit too much of the world and really not leaving time for God? If that's a problem, then yeah, then maybe I need to adjust my schedule. If I can't get to my Bible study because I'm watching 3 hours of TV at night, you know, well, maybe I need to just watch 2.5 hours. If I don't have time to pray, yeah, that is really cute. If I don't have time to pray because, you know, I'm going to the mall and hanging out with everybody for 2 hours and there's another hour of travel time back and forth, then maybe I need to not hang out at the mall as much. Sure, I might need to adjust my priorities. Absolutely. But God is not going to love me less. And so I need to do these things out of grace. They need to be a part of the fruit that the Holy Spirit brings about in my life as I love Him and walk with Him and embrace Him and enjoy Him. Wow. Praise God. So number one, you're secure because your salvation is free. It's a gift. Number two, and I'll speed this up. You are secure because your salvation is what? Eternal. Eternal. Who can tell? How many people here have ever heard of Buzz Lightyear? Yeah, a couple of them, one or two. What is Buzz Lightyear's most famous saying? Say it loud. Say it proud. To infinity and beyond. Yes, you did it. Great. Go ahead.
To infinity and beyond.
To infinity and beyond.
Go ahead.
To infinity and beyond. To infinity and beyond. All right. That's pretty close. To infinity and beyond. Guess what? That is how long your salvation is. The salvation that God gives you is forever and ever and ever and ever. It is to infinity and beyond. It is eternal life. Jesus says, I give them eternal life and they shall sometimes. What's he say? I give them eternal life. Oh, okay, forget it. I didn't put it up there. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Say never perish. Never perish. Can I say this? Do you guys belong to Jesus? Then I can say on the authority of God's word that you will never perish. Praise God. Liana, you will never perish. And I have Jesus' word on it. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that awesome? Praise God. Let that sink in. If God ever gave somebody eternal life and then changed his mind and sent them to hell, Jesus could not make this statement. He would have to say, I give them eternal life and I really hope that they don't perish. You know, if they try hard enough, maybe they might make it. He says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. And I say that with all gravity. I don't say that with any kind of flippancy at all. This is weighty stuff. I don't mean this as some kind of license to sin or do whatever the heck you want as though you could do that and truly be a follower of Christ. God decided a long time ago. Salvation is forever. It wouldn't be eternal life. And he decided a long time ago in eternity that whoever he would save, he would utterly save and completely save. It says in Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew before the foundation of the world, whom he foreknew he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Do you know that before he made the first star or the first planet or the first comet or the first galaxy, he knew that he was going to save you, and he decided that when he did, he would save you completely. He would make you completely like Jesus. And I know some of you might be scratching your heads thinking, wow, man, I got a long way to go. Yeah, me too. But guess what? He has already predestined you to be like Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. And what he has started, he will complete. The Bible says, Philippians 1:6, Paul said, I am confident. I'm not just hoping, man. I am confident of this very thing. He who has begun a good work in you, Maya. He who has begun a good work in you, Liana. He who has begun a good work in you, Mark. Yeah, Mark too. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. God sees your salvation is already complete. He says, it's already done. It's on my calendar. He already, in fact, sees you as seated in heaven with Christ. The moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and how many people have done that? Amen. Amen. The moment you did that, something miraculous took place inside of you. Something incredible and amazing took place. You were born again. In other words, you passed from the first Adam into the second Adam. You passed from darkness into light. You passed from death into life. You passed from the kingdom of the enemy into the kingdom of his Son. And Jesus said this in John 5:24. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. And hear this, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. In other words, you already have eternal life right now. You possess it. It is yours. You don't have to get it later. You don't have to earn it. It's yours. And Jesus says that you will not come into judgment. That makes sense. Because you know what? I've already been there. I've already been tried and found guilty. I've already been convicted. They brought up the evidence. It was true. I did it, Your Honor. I was guilty. I've been tried, convicted. I have been sentenced. The sentence was death. And guess what? My sentence has already been paid. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He has already paid my sentence. And after that, he was not only buried after he died, but he rose. And guess what? When I went into the waters of baptism, I was already buried with him. And when he rose from the dead, Scripture says it was like I rose from the dead with him. So I'm already guilty. I'm already convicted. I'm already sentenced. I've already been tried. I've already in Christ been crucified, buried, and risen to walk in newness of life. There's no more trial to be had. It's done. I am a free man in Christ. Praise God. Ephesians 4, 2 to 4 says this, but God who was rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. He raised us up together, and he made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God sees you as though you're already sitting with Christ in heaven. Now, the question, the burning question is, well, do I still have to endure to the end? Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to, because it's the evidence that you, in fact, belong to him. 5 years from now, you go around and say, I've had enough of that Christianity stuff. I tried that. That's not for me. You never really belong to him, because his sheep hear his voice, and he knows them, and they follow him. If you're truly one of his sheep, you will follow him to the end. Now, you might be thinking, well, what if I stop following him? Well, you won't if you're one of his sheep, because who are you going to follow instead of Jesus? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. He said, they won't follow the voice of a stranger because they don't recognize his voice. So if you're truly his, you're not going to follow somebody else. You're going to follow Christ. And even more importantly than any of that, what I said from the beginning is that when you belong to him, you are in his hand. And he is never, ever, ever going to let you go. He loves you far too much, and he paid far too great a price for you to ever let you go. You are secure because you are in his hand. He's not letting you go anywhere. He's truly not. In order for the enemy to lure you out of his hand, he would have to lure him into letting you go. And guess what, brothers and sisters? Ain't no enemy going to lure the Lord into doing anything. Our God knows who he is, knows what he has to do, has accepted that responsibility, and he will hold you securely in his hand. You are secure because your shepherd holds you in his hand. Jesus said, "No one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father is greater than I, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." When he said no one, you know who he meant? No one. No one. No man on this earth is cunning enough or mighty enough or intelligent enough, if you want to call it that, persuasive or elegant enough to snatch you out of the hand of Jesus. There is not a man on this planet who can do that. I don't care if he's the greatest, most educated atheist in the world. I don't care if he's, what's his name, Dawkins or Bertrand Russell or this Provine guy out in Chicago. There is no man on this planet who can snatch you out of Jesus' hands, because no one can compare to Christ. There is not a devil in hell who can snatch you out of Jesus' hands. I don't care what kind of craft or deception or manipulation or wickedness that he uses. He cannot snatch you out of the hands of the Father, because there is no one who can compare to Christ. His hands hold you secure. There is no wolf, there is no thief or robber or bandit or hireling or anybody in heaven, on earth, or under the earth who has the ability to snatch you out of the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if they could rob the good shepherd of his sheep, he would not be the good shepherd. He would not be the good shepherd. Paul says this in 1 Timothy. He says, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that..." Did I put that in? "He is able." Thank you. Let's all say that together. "He is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." He is able. He is able. Is he not able? Don't you agree that he is able? He is absolutely over and abundantly able to keep what is entrusted to him. It's not our ability. It's his ability. It's not having to do with whether we are able. It's he is able. So I want to encourage you today. And I'm not saying this to give anybody any license to say, well, if that, you know, like some people I've heard, well, if that's true, then I can go out and do this and carry on and act goofy and stupid and all this stuff and still be saved. Absolutely not. Because that's not how his sheep act. His sheep are broken over their sin. And yes, they stumble from time to time in word or in deed or in thought. But they are not glib, because they've been changed. They cannot continue casually in sin, because now Christ lives in us. And so I want to give you some consolation and encouragement today. You don't have to earn your salvation. Receive it freely from Christ. And you know what? You don't have to earn his blessings either. In your day-to-day walk, when you need grace from God in time of need, you need his strength, you need his blessing, you need him to go before you into some difficult situation, you need him to make some provision for you because things are tight and you don't know where that next provision is coming from, you need him to step into a relationship because you're at odds with somebody and it's tearing you apart and there's bitterness and anger and malice and you just don't know how to get through that thing. Or you've got some situation at work that's hanging over your head and you don't know how you're ever going to make it work out, and you want God's grace in that situation to go before you and make all things possible for you. Please hear me. God loves you, and it would be his delight to do that for you. And you don't have to earn it by reaching some kind of platitude or some kind of lofty ideal. All he wants you to do is rest in his grace and rest in his love for you and trust him. And as he leads you, simply follow to his place of provision for you. It's as easy as resting in Christ. How many of you guys know how to rest? I'm asking the wrong people. How many of you guys know how to rest? You guys got some growing to do to learn how to rest upon the grace of God. But us older folks, we know how to rest. We do it really good. That's what God wants us to do. Not to be lazy, but to rest in Him and trust in Him and know that He is able to bring His grace into our life for whatever we need that grace to provide. Praise God. Well, you guys have been great, man. Have they not been great? Man, you can come join us anytime. Yes. Yeah. Take a bow. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh. Praise God. Mark, would you like to close us in prayer, brother?
Yes. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for the jewels of wisdom that you provided to us today through Pastor. I pray that we would be able to take these and apply them to our lives every day, Lord, and then we would take down some of these spinning plates that we don't need to have up there,
oh,
Father, and then we would rest in you, follow you, Lord Jesus. As
yes.
we go from here, we ask for traveling mercies, Jesus.
Yes.
In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen.